city and the county council one that might be oriented to residents, but I'll let David talk about it.
Yeah, we were talking about it a little bit outside, and, you know, I know that it just seems to me that there's stuff in place, talking to Michael, talking to Rich. Not everybody knows about it. It's not in, there isn't one sort of compendium addressing renewable energy in the city and opportunities. And I was just thinking that it maybe a document might be created that does that going forward. And, you know, I just saw four major content areas and something like this, and that is writing, you know, existing or writing advanced renewable efficiency requirements in the city code or opportunities in the city code. For new development, adaptive reuse, that's one area. Another area is capturing opportunities with existing hardscape parking areas on developed sites that are not useful for higher public purpose. Another area would be encouraging enabling community solar, whatever that means within the context of Hudson.
Yeah, I got the list wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, and promoting opportunities that exist for homeowners and small businesses to incorporate solar at low or no cost. And, you know, I mean, I think if we manage to sort of point out, you know, what's available, what other cities are doing, what's possible, you know, under those four headings, it might be a useful document for people. It's just they know they can get, you know, the Hudson CAC guide on that, mm-hmm. and that's where they would find that information, or at least, you know, a path to that information. So, I mean, that's as much thinking as I've done on it, and, you know, and I'm open to, you know, obviously what anybody else has to say or think, or whether this is an interesting idea or useful idea, and if so, whether these four areas of content make sense.
So the areas of content are regarding city code and potential changes, hardscape in the city, so that would mean municipal hardscape.
Right.
Okay, and
community solar,
and
whatever that means
small business.
In this context, and then you know, creating a guide to what's available if you're a small business or a homeowner, and maybe what else we can do, what other cities are doing. I mean, I think sort of being able to tap some of the, you know, knowledge base of other places that are ahead of us is not a bad thing to do.
Not at all.
And so that's just my thing. That's as much thinking as I've done on that.
How does anybody feel about doing this sort of four-pronged approach to a comprehensive compendium?
I think it's a potentially very useful thing to do. That would make it clear to business and residential homeowners what is specifically available in Hudson. Certainly there's resources that we can help people understand about what's available in New York State in general,
mm-hmm.
Which can also be part of that overview, because there's subsidies and various programs at the state level that anywhere in the state can take advantage of. But then we have specific, for example, programs for commercial properties that are specific to Hudson that I'm sure very few business owners and commercial property owners know about.
Well, what are those?
Well, the PACE program, in particular, Property Assessed Clean Energy, where modifications to one's commercial property that involve improving energy efficiency and or alternative energy can be paid for by a low-interest, long-term loan, which is paid back as a surcharge on the property tax for that facility.
Right.
So that's been in place for a while, and it's not been publicized. So that's one of the things that one ought to be made aware of. The other, of course, choices that somebody might make if they're depending on their income and how their tax situation is working out, you know, whether they would want to invest in their own array, and of course, depending on the suitability of their property for it, or would they just like to participate in a community solar arrangement where you would just perhaps get 10% off your electric bill.
Right,
and
right.
With the stroke of a pen, you're done. There's no investment, et cetera.
Right.
So, but you don't get quite as much economic advantage for that, but if you don't have the cash to invest, then that's the path to go. So we can explain that in the document.
Right, okay.
To help people get it straight.
So about pace, I mean, at least I feel we can raise the awareness of it, but I would be... I feel reticent about the aspect of, you know, it's buyer beware. I mean, because it's I don't want to give financial advice to anybody.
No, of course not.
But I don't want to seem like.
No, it always is. And the documents that were passed around a while ago had to do with other states where they have residential property pace that I think are examples of how not to do it right. New York State has only commercial, and to I know the people who developed the program. I've known them for 10 years, and I think that they are dedicated to doing it right, and that what I've seen so far is that they're succeeding in their objective.
Great.
So, and you know, the problems that you get with a slick salesman pulling up to some residential homeowner's property and selling them something that they get stuck with too high a price is not even possible.
Okay.
In the New York State version.
What if we could we get like a section of the city website maybe so we can post all of this information, like go bring out some and that would list links to these programs and laws and things like that, so that if people wanted to, it would all be in one place, as opposed, because right now, like, honestly, there's all these different programs that are out there, we have to compile them all and put them all in one place. If it was a one page on the website,
right.
I guess we could.
Oh yeah, with links to all the programs and so forth. I don't see any reason why not.
Sure.
That I mean, this goes to the larger question of how our city communicates with the citizens and the organization of the website. And this is just one of those things that we would want to facilitate people finding the information and so forth, you know, among many.
Well,
you know, welcome to Hudson. Here's what you might want to know.
So you're talking about closer to the homepage, not having to go to the CAC page.
Well, wherever it is, but I think these programs and everything is all different places.
Yeah.
You know, like the Unified Solar Permit is one place, the PACE program is someplace else.
Right.
You know, no one, if there was one page, wherever that page is, you know, on the CAC, or just one thing that says, you know, click here to go green or whatever.
Yeah.
So people would know.
Yeah, we can publicize it.
Sure. And they would even say something about, it could be about recycling too, it could
right.
be about
right.
all of these things that we're working on. You know, what and right, people have questions.
Right. Okay. Who organizes the website?
Mostly right now it'd be Michael Hoffman.
Michael, okay. So it would be
and then once
conversation.
You're, right, and then once you're set up, Tracy could help you as well. Those
right.
are the two people who really generally manage, you know, the mayoral aide and the head clerk.
So, but if all of the topics do seem like they relate to CAC, we could just have a button on the homepage that says for all environmental and energy information, click here. And
sure.
so, I mean, there could be a number of topics that click back to CAC. Yeah. And then we would.
It would be great to kind of bubble it up, though, you know, to like not having to go to CAC directly.
Yeah. Well, I'm no designer of websites,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, Michael's really good at this stuff.
Okay,
so.
That's great. Okay.
Can I just suggest that if we're going there, and then we should probably be talking about grants available to do things like insulate your home.
Yeah.
Replace all,
yeah.
At a big
yeah.
one that I don't know exists anymore is the NYSERDA
mm-hmm.
program that helps local businesses replace all their bulbs with LEDs. I mean, we got almost $1,000 worth of LEDs in our old store. I know it's an issue down at Face right now, replacing all the bulbs. It's like, you know. So these are little things that are actually pretty easy to get your hands on that people don't know exist.
Right.
So energy efficiency is probably more likely to get attention than putting in solar.
Yeah, actually,
of course.
Yeah, I think that's the way to look at it, definitely. You know, saving energy is like
yeah.
producing energy, but less destructive.
Even better.
Exactly.
And it's going to be ongoing. I mean, the thing is that
yeah.
if we just put up one page and say, start with three or four topics, you would just add to it. Right.
Sure.
We just keep
yeah.
going. It's an
yep.
iterative process.
Yep. Right.
Yeah,
and
if the thing was going, we could just, you know, every once in a while, just update it quarterly.
Yeah.
Monthly, whatever.
Right.
You find if somebody identifies a project or a program that should be on that list, add it to the list.
Right.
Related to the subject of the four parts,
mm-hmm.
it kind of brought up some months ago, we talked about code and planning and how CAC was going to interface more with the planning
board,
aspect of
yeah.
you know the work that the planning department does, and I know that there is a question of how much of that is law that we, you know, where we would have to write a law, present it to the council, you know, and have the council vote on it for it actually to become part of the planning code, and then there's policy papers and positions,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still not quite clear on what the distinction is in terms of the ability of the planning board to take action, right? And I'd like to explore that further, because that is part of, I mean, if we're going to talk about solar,
mm-hmm.
things like how much can you require a builder, for example, to consider solar panels on new properties, like over a certain, like if you have more than 10 units, could you require solar panels? You know, things like that.
Right.
Like mandating. Okay. Right, I see. Going back to the page, I'm willing to take that project on and just like, unless someone else wants it, I'm I'm willing to take on the idea I will send out an email where, you know, what topic would you like to see covered, and I can organize that and go to Michael Hoffman and say, let's put together a page that lists
mm-hmm.
all these topics. So
mm-hmm.
I will take that on.
Great.
If you want, if anyone does that.
You win.
Yeah.
You win. I'm declaring you the winner of that.
So what I'm going to do is send out an email to all of you and just say, okay, look, you know, give me some topics. If you know where the links are, that's great. We need to start off with whatever we have. And, you know, point to, you know, the unified solar permit. Where is that URL? You know, it'll give me all these links. And we can put that up there. We'll make it look, you know, fun. And then we'll just add to it as we
Thank
go along.
You.
Sounds
Absolutely.
Good.
That's great. That's great. Did we just... Wait a second. Did we just answer what you were talking about? No, you were talking about planning board.
No,
I want to come back to
you. It was just that I wanted to say it all at once rather than... Because you had discussed it was kind of number one on here. Oh, no. I remember it was planning code and hardscape was discussed. Those were the words that were used.
City code and hardscape. Well, I actually don't know the rules that the planning board go by, and that's a really good thing to know. We had had asked when Betsy was the chair to have a liaison come to our meetings, and that we could, you know, cross-pollinate with all of these things of what can we do for you, what do you need? Yeah, so what were you thinking, Michael?
Well, the essential rules are the city code, and within that, the zoning,
mm-hmm.
and parallel with that, the building code. And if it's in those documents, then it's the law, and they must, conform to that as a proposed project. So
right.
then there's what we would do to as a policy recommendation. We can also educate the planning board and encourage certain things, which then become hopefully part of their discussion when they're working with the project manager on how something might, be nudged one way or another. But if it's not in the code, then the planning board does not have to go by it.
Right, which
that's
I think is
kind of where
we
want
to go. Well, there's a couple of things. Yeah, first of all, on most projects they have to do an environmental review.
Yes.
So that covers a lot. It doesn't obviously cover requirements for solar.
Right.
But yeah, otherwise it's as Michael says. I mean, but they have a pretty wide purview if they want to include something that's not in the code. Because of the way the language is, the language in the code is wide enough that it includes a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, because the community impact.
Right, exactly. There's plenty there, right.
But also, aren't we at the ages of the Common Council? So if we were to say to the Common Council, we think that it's a good idea that you have X, Y, Z in the code, write a resolution, then it goes into the code.
Yes.
And then the planning board has to go by it.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Right.
That's right.
And that's what I'm thinking, to survey what some of the latest thinking is in municipalities about energy efficiency and alternative renewable energy. And to see what's possible.
Like,
what are people doing?
A few green codes from a few cities. They're larger than us, have a larger tax base. But still, it gives language of what we would hope for. I was thinking, because we have so many historic buildings that it might not be appropriate to use solar. Solar, I just found out.
Let's not ever say that again out loud.
I was going to raise that issue. I mean, that's a policy you should think about. How to deal with historic neighborhoods.
Exactly. And the way to deal with it is to have a menu of alternative mitigations so that there is some freedom. Because you also can't impose on somebody. You have to do so. I mean, maybe if it's a very large project that the big butler building.
That's what I'm saying. Larger buildings,
right.
You might be able to.
Yeah,
fortunately.
Like jumping from energy production to efficiency and conservation is also a good idea, because that can come
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's this whole host of things that you can do, but you must consider and really have a very good reason not for doing.
And I feel like we need to move pretty quickly, because there's got to be like a half a dozen projects on the books now.
But most of them already come with a big, a lot of them are LE lead, and a lot of them have solar. Yeah, a lot of them are doing the right thing.
Well, then,
because they get abatements for them. On the one hand, we don't want to disincentivize things, but the state actually encouraged them already so that they're doing a lot of this stuff. Most of it has.
If I might make a point here, the New York State has developed what they call the stretch code, which is taking our existing building code for New York State, which is itself an extrapolation of the national code, and making it more green, more emphasis on energy efficiency and so forth. And a number of cities around the state have adopted the stretch code, not just New York City itself, but also some other cities. So it's already written.
Okay,
good.
And
that's
so
handy.
We don't know what that is.
Can we send that to us?
Yeah, sure.
That'd be great.
So we don't have to reinvent the wheel here.
Good.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We don't want to do
that.
People have already written these things out.
Yeah, I think
people
are thinking about all of this stuff, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And if it aligns with the state incentives that already exist, then obviously we're not.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
When you're a small municipality, you don't want to be the first to do it. That's pretty much the
especially
wisdom around here.
Municipality with 6,500 residents.
Right.
That's really great information with stretch code. On the other aspects, David, how do you see breaking up the work on creating this? Bring together the various options for community solar. I personally just had a homeowner's experience of seeking solar for what I'm building on State Street, and it does not pencil out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
So
I might as well put a $12,000 bill on the roof of the house and hope it's still there. I mean, I cannot make it work. So, community solar is a great idea.
Right.
Exactly.
Maybe we should stick to the things that are more cooperative in nature anyway. You know, the things that we can do as a city together. Right. I mean, providing resources to homeowners is obviously useful.
Yeah.
But as far as CAC's emphasis, I think it should be more on things that are, you know, how the city can engage at the widest possible level.
But I think, as you said, we still have to provide the individual information for residents.
I think we have an educational role to play to say, if you're a homeowner and you think that your property might qualify, well, God bless, but here's the other community-oriented broad brush stuff that's available, which you can also look, and it will be a useful thing to us to help people with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I just think most people will probably opt for the community aspect.
Oh, it's easy.
You know, it's also a lot cheaper.
But it's specific to the circumstance, to the property, to the tax situation. There's a lot of specifics.
There are. Which, that really makes it complicated.
Right.
So do you have an idea how we could divide up this work, or?
Not yet.
Okay.
Well, David, if you'd like to take the lead on organizing that, I would be happy to help.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to think through a structure and see who wants to be part of that and do some of the research.
I'll do some research.
Certainly would be happy to take a hand in writing.
Which
do a lot
you were
of
excellent
that.
At.
But yeah, I mean, you're talking about a work plan for this, and I'm happy to develop one.
Great.
Okay, don't be shy about asking people just to please go research community solar.
Oh, I won't be shy about that at all.
Okay. Because I think that actually Britt has a handle on. Or somewhat of a handle on urban hardscape concepts for solar. But, we can also be talking about other mitigations in those cases, too. And in telling Sun Common today that the project that they bid on for me wasn't penciling out, I said, but your time wasn't wasted with me because I'm very interested in learning more, and I asked if they do ballparks, or they, if they do hardscape in cities and how they go about it. And they said they're very interested, you know, before or after there's an RFP, just to help educate us. So that's a good thing. He was an engineer that I was talking with at SunCom, and so I think that we could use them as a resource. Wouldn't want to overuse them because, you know.
David, you can definitely put me down for doing research on the stretch code and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
I want to work on something called the stretch code.
I know, I know.
That looks good to me.
And there's the warm-up code and
workout
code.
I'm thinking the life fitness code.
Mm-hmm. okay, so are we fairly clear on that topic for now? Well, then next topic, I'll just do the quick on the summer youth program. We had to shift it into an after-school program with the youth department because I had not gotten clarification on how we could use the funds, and I don't want to spend a dime that might not be reimbursed. So we're going to keep that. The urban forestry inventory, the contract did get signed. It will. I'll be hearing on the 15th from the forester about setting up a schedule. The youth department is very interested in having him, you know, it's not in the grant, but asking him to speak to the older members of the youth department, because she said it's so rare that somebody has, you know, this really interesting career in nature, and it would just inspire young people to think about, oh, you know, maybe I could do that when I grow up. So
is that the 15th where you're going to put it? Is he going to come here before the CAC? Because most of us, I think, well, three of us, would be new to a lot of this. What he's going to be doing?
Well, no. What he's going to what he's going to be doing is he's going to call on the 15th.
Okay.
I mean, that's when he's free, because he's got another big project going on right now, and we're going to set up a schedule. And the plan is that he's going to come and scope out Hudson and see these different things. Then he's going to put his team together, and they're going to spend 2 or 3 days right here in Hudson and have a plan for which streets to do when and how. And what they do is they measure the trees.
Yes.
They, you know, they do this full inventory thing. And then they go back and to the back home and write it up and make recommendations and all, but anything that's absolutely they see is totally dangerous. They'd say something, but the last time we did a professional tree inventory was in 06, and I was a tag along on it, and so I got to learn a lot. And he's okay with having some tag alongs, you know, if somebody's particularly interested in the cemetery or Oakdale or Warren Street, and so we can take turns doing tag along. And so then there will be a full presentation and report. He's going to write a report that first comes to us, and we read it, and we make sure that we've gotten all of the kinds of information we want. And the DEC actually reads the proof to make sure that they're satisfied with it. And then he goes into final draft. Then after final draft, he comes and makes, you know, barring anything COVID-related, would do a formal presentation. And we should advertise it and try to get a big venue and let people come.
I'm sorry, is that like the point, is it afterwards, does he like, the DEC make suggestions on what we should do, or is it just an inventory? And
oh, no, it's a management plan, 5-year management plan.
That, for who? For
for the city of Hudson to know about, you know, and it's it would, you know, prioritize things of things that should be done immediately, et cetera. But what's good about this also is that once it's done, we're in a position to go for a maintenance grant that would help with some of that heavy lift of the big work that has to happen immediately.
So the inventory helps put together a master plan, which then we can get more grant money for to
execute.
So like, well, okay.
And he is this, they're aware of the sidewalk committee? Are they aware of the DR? All of, the reason why I ask is because trees are on the agenda for that.
They're not aware yet.
No.
Okay, but they
will mention it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll just be thrilled.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we should do a press release about this.
Oh, we absolutely should,
before
because it's one of the
start,
things the DDC
yeah.
requires. That's why I'm like waiting for this date.
Yeah.
So I have a date to get a date.
Got it.
Yeah. So, and if there's any other questions, because you're right, you weren't involved from when this grant got written, please ask away, email or whatever. Autumn Arbor Day plans. Marie and Rich worked on this, and I did a walk around with Britt to find already.
I wanted to go to that. Okay.
We just did a walk around.
Okay.
And that's why she. No, it was just like a grab me on a Sunday morning thing. Before she went on vacation. So what we looked for were pits that had, it wouldn't need any work from DPW, but it's going to take a lot of muscle to prepare the soil for a new tree. But they were pits without trees. And she sent the list, I think, to everybody of these sites that we found. Mostly were on State Street and two on Warren, two options on Warren. Three or four
yeah.
state.
No, I didn't
get that.
In Prospect. Okay, I'll resend. You probably didn't get it right. Okay, I'll resend that. Suggested tree pits.
So these are pits where there was a tree at one point, now there isn't.
Yeah, I think that the thought was it's just easier than having to cut new tree pits for Arbor Day celebration when there's clearly, a missing tooth out there. Just fill the...
And how many were there approximately?
Oh, we found about 8 or 9 sites.
Oh.
And, we can dwindle it or, bring it down. And Britt had also reached out to a couple of resources for getting trees donated. And one is a commercial nursery up in Kinderhook, and the other is Pondside. But she wants to continue working on that.
She should definitely talk to Lowe's, because I know that they even had a program, I don't know if it still exists, they were going to provide up to $100,000 to redo that park, I seem to recall.
To redo what?
Lowe's used to have grants, I don't know if they still do them.
Yeah.
Community grants for beautification, it includes things like things for parks. I know that there was some talk about looking toward to Lowe's some years ago for 7th Street Park, and that didn't happen, but Lowe's might still do that.
Yeah, and actually I just remembered stories.
And I remember it was up to like $100,000. It wasn't an insubstantial amount. I don't know if they still do it. COVID probably changes everything.
Couldn't hurt to ask.
But it wouldn't be,
three or four trees
be worth
would be
asking.
Like,
could be, a lot more than that.
Yeah. Some soil to amend it. Would be nice. Some mulch. I think that Britt is eager to continue on that, but I'll send that list of the sites and the photos of the sites that we came across.
so they could help raise money for Arbor Day, our fall
Arbor
Day.
I'll talk to them. If we present like or something to them, say, look, we're looking for like 8 or 9 trees. They might even have the money just to, right?
Yeah.
Make a donation.
They have some money, I think, right?
Yeah, they have a little bit of money. So, you know, I don't know how much the trees are, but yeah. But if anybody else wanted to donate a tree, like this tree be donated by so and so, you can do it through.
That's actually a good idea.
So they might have to partner, and they might just act as a pass through.
Yeah, if we put together like a, I don't want to, you know, dump the number, but if we put together like a little pager that says, this is the plan, folks, and present that to the board.
Okay. Okay, Rich, did you, Michael and Rich, do you want to talk about where we are in the Climate Smart community?
Well, the Climate Smart Community Committee did its work to get us to the bronze level
right. In
the Climate Smart program.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, I think it was 124 points, and got us a ranking. So that's a good thing. But in part because of COVID, the committee has sort of evaporated as a body, and what's left is essentially me and Tom O'Dowd, who wasn't in the original committee, but he's been in conversation with me before he went away.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Comedes is the officially designated task force contact from the DEC's point of view, because you have to have somebody who's the contact
still
established. Pardon me.
Yeah, I think he shifted that over to.
No, he hasn't officially given it to. As far as I understand, I might be wrong. I didn't think he had officially given it up. I think he put Tom O'Dowd and I as users of the state system, so that we could enter information that would, you know, qualify us for more points. So we can at least do that, but I didn't get that we were designated the task force contact. So in any event, we'll straighten that out. I'm meeting probably tomorrow with Tom to see where we want to go with that. And what I communicated to him is that my feeling is that that I didn't think it made a lot of sense to have a whole separate committee doing nothing but Climate Smart Community related activities. I had them thinking of it more as a project of the CAC.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That it would exist under our administrative umbrella, just like we have the other stuff like the, you know, urban tree plan and the solar-related stuff. You know, these are all distinct projects that have somebody among us responsible for it, and I think we could do that with the Climate Smart Communities program.
Okay. So can I get a username and password for the Climate Smart Communities as well, then? I think I email Tom. Is Tom around?
He's away until tomorrow, I think.
All right. Yeah, because I would like to see, you know, I want to log, I mean, I initially logged into the system. I had a first username and password, right? So
yeah.
It's a Salesforce database. So I logged in, and that's, you know, I completed some of the action items.
Right.
But basically, what action items are done, what action items are still to do, you know, and we just got to start working on them.
Right.
So I sent an email to Tom, I don't know if he's available or not. But, so if we're all going to work on it, that's great. So then we can get, so we can each then get username and passwords to log in so we can see where we're at. And,
right.
You know, everyone can get a task, because you can assign tasks to certain individuals and who's working on it, right, and things like that, so we can start moving on it.
Mm-hmm. So would you like to be the
just go.
Your Climate Smart Communities Task Force contact on that?
Well, no, but you can have multiple people have username and passwords.
Well, I'm not concerned about the passwords. I'm just talking about who we tell the DEC is the task force leader.
Well, it sounds like Shamir still is.
No, he's ready to give it up. But, you know, we're just in the transition stage right now. But he doesn't want to be the contact.
Well, no, I just want to say, I think it would be good to have Tom in on this conversation.
Oh, no argument there.
So if you three can talk about it, you three want to head this up and figure out who's going to be named what or what.
Right.
But also, I think of it as just like with writing things on solar or gathering information on energy, I should say, not just solar. You got to let us know how everybody can help. You guys, the three of you, if you can coordinate and make it function. But I thought that Michael Shamir definitely wanted to have it off his plate completely.
Yeah. Right.
And I thought that transfer had already happened to Tom.
Well, it's to be clarified. My understanding, because it was Michael communicating with Tom and I at the same time. So my understanding was that he was kind of waiting for some definitive feedback from us.
Oh.
Michael was
okay.
To say, okay, this is the way we want to go.
All right. Yeah.
Well, I think a resolution was needed from the City Council appointing. Appointing somebody to be...
I doubt it.
Well, whatever it is, the DEC needs to be noted.
Okay.
So so let's you and I and Tom discuss this, Rich.
Because then we could even spend a report, you know, every month that says...
Of course.
This is, you know, this is where we're at, this is the task we're completed, this is what's left to be completed, and then after you get... And there's deadlines, so we have to complete X number of tasks by, you know, quarterly.
Exactly.
If you want to apply for grants and things like that, so we kind of have to be.
Oh no, you're on the ball. I mean, this is the right attitude about it. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
That's great. So
I sent Tom an email, but I'll CC. I'll forward it to you as well. So if you guys can just like give me an update, that would be great.
Wonderful.
Are we good on that topic? Okay. Then the sidewalk meeting, I was unable to go because of the second anniversary. But Marie and Michael went. And
wait,
so did Britt.
So there are two different sidewalk meetings. You're talking about the DRI meeting, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Too.
Well, I don't. I can't remember what. Have I been? Did I go to the last sidewalk meeting? I can't even keep track. I don't. As far as CAC's role with the sidewalk meeting, I think everything we discussed last month, there's been no change. With the ad hoc committee meeting.
Yeah.
But I do think it's worth discussing briefly the DRI meeting. My personal feeling, I thought it was a good presentation. I don't think there was enough emphasis on the soft part of the hardscapes. So there's definitely a little bit of pushing that we can do there. There were mostly these little build-outs for trees. But I didn't see any plant strips.
It's too early for. I mean, none of that's.
That.
Yeah, okay.
I do. I mean, this was a preliminary. Yeah, and this was emphasized over and over again. You know, that this is just the preliminary draft drawings, not specific to the city of Hudson, but more generally what a sidewalk or an intersection like that would look like.
Was this basically the same presentation as they did to the Common Council about 6 months ago?
That's why it was so ridiculous. I mean, I wasn't there. When people claim that there's been all these meetings in private, there hasn't been.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was the exact same presentation. Okay, but this time it was was to the public and invited the public. And
right.
So
we're trying to get more public. We're beginning the public input process. That's what it was all about.
Yeah. Okay. Because I had written comments after that Common Council one,
mm-hmm.
but now we as a CAC can write again.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well,
as
yeah.
part of the public.
And we definitely should. There are, I mean, we could go on the website and look at their drawings, comment,
mm-hmm.
and that's what they want. And it,
mm-hmm.
that's where they're at. They
right.
want our comments.
Yeah, just
so,
compliment them and then.
Yeah, you know, without, you know,
yeah.
that's their,
yep.
that's where they're at. In fact, they'd be happy to get them, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
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 Yeah.
And I think that Britt has already forwarded to say
she,
the, yeah.
She did.
She did.
She was taking, I mean, she was writing at the meeting, so she
yeah.
was literally writing the position paper while
right.
she was at
right.
the meeting.
Yeah.
Right. So, all right. She was, you know, like,
they had an app. They had an
time.
App. Apparently, they had an app.
Yeah.
Where you could instead of, you know, if you didn't want to speak in public, you could say what you want to the app. And
right.
There were 46 comments. They were really a lot of
wow.
good stuff.
A few of them were 2 or 3 from Britt.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. No, that, I could guess which they were too because I saw them today. And
yes.
It's great.
It was an interesting technique.
We'll send you a copy of the report instead of you having to write it all out.
Right. It was almost. I mean, it's analogous to the way you do a Zoom meeting and you have the
mm-hmm.
comments
yeah.
here,
yeah.
Although it was moderated, that,
yeah.
you know, okay, here we have this design, and you know, what do you think about this? Type it in, and then...
I mean, I thought there were some interesting comments. There was clearly a lot of concern about the historic aesthetics associated with the sidewalks.
They're going to meet, the team is going to meet with HPC, is it this week or next week? The next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I thought some of it was maybe a little bit, jumping the gun a little bit, because again...
It was jumping the gun and also exceeding their purview.
Well, that's the other thing. I was like, wait, but you're a historic, but those are the buildings.
Right.
These are the sidewalks.
Right.
And I get that you don't want, I mean, the comment of suburban... I was like, actually, no, they're just modern intersections.
Right.
You know, they might
right.
look suburban to you because that's
yeah.
the only place you're going to
right.
find them.
Right, and that they involve...
But they're actually modern
right.
intersections.
They involve safety. They
yes.
involve traffic calming.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand their objections, but also what they weren't thinking about was how much of that neighborhood is not historic. You know, the area, you know,
that's
front end...
apartments.
Right.
Exactly.
It's
historic
yeah. yeah.
And I also thought there was another comment that I thought was interesting, how much that relates to CAC, which was there seemed to be some consternation about this concept of social justice, that it was kind of muddying the waters of, you know, making it complicated to address sidewalk issues. And I think it's really odd to say that given that this mm-hmm. is about, well, many things. But access for people who are not able-bodied, for example, which is clearly a social justice
right.
issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't...
Right. Now, ADA is top priority for
yeah,
the entire
it
project.
It has to be, right? It has
right.
to be. And so I think that that hasn't been made clear enough, possibly to some people, that there's this isn't just about, you know, we don't like our sidewalks.
Right.
Right. There's a much bigger
right.
picture here. And... what I also thought was quite interesting was that a lot of people were not aware of the fact of the work of the sidewalk committee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's much understanding of what's
mm-hmm.
happening out in the city itself. So
yeah.
there's definitely some sort of education project that needs to go on there. And as the CAC, we had talked about putting together a road show once the city is ready to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, once we're
you know,
ready,
once the city is ready to move forward,
okay.
we can really do that kind
yeah,
of education.
Beyond it.
And there's clearly a connection between what they're doing down there and the sidewalk committee work, because that looks like the pilot to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Why would you reinvent the wheel? I mean, all of
oh, that's
stuff
totally
is,
the idea.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When the DRI committee originally picked Arterial, one of the deliverables, I guess they call them, was that they would be providing us with a outline for what to do for the rest of the city. That was understood from the get-go.
Just
all right.
a no-brainer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if it, there are some things I do think that it won't, that it is possible that that area won't cover all of the different possibilities that you get as you go up street and get commercial and
mm-hmm.
get over into
sure.
other areas.
Sure.
There might need to be sub.
Sure. Every intersection has its own unique needs, and they do that for
this
each
is,
every
look,
intersection.
But hopefully it'll be.
This is one of the something that's kind of been difficult with the sidewalk committee is that it's not a blueprint that's going to be for the entire city. We have to figure out each certain neighborhoods where there are no sidewalks. What are we going to do with that? Does that neighborhood want to stay that way? Linda was there, so she probably remembers this conversation because she lives in a neighborhood with no sidewalks.
Can I ask a question about that? Actually, this is something that there was something that was brought up actually at that DRI meeting, uh-huh. which is there are sections of the city that don't have sidewalks. And my understanding is that that in and of itself is a violation of the ADA.
No,
so
it is not.
So if you're missing an entire strip of sidewalks,
I know, but that's,
not a violation.
It's grandfathered in.
But
then you have all these sections that are inaccessible. You spend all this money, and then you've got these little inaccessible sections.
Well, the idea is that they're wider streets, so you can... I know, it's ridiculous.
That sounds crazy to me.
But wouldn't then, so much of Greenport and all these other areas be non-ADA?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
They also just don't have throngs of people out there.
Yeah.
I was in Poughkeepsie out there.
That's the thing. You also have to have complaints and...
Yeah.
I mean, we happen to be under
a consent decree,
but,
Well,
I don't think you have to make everything. I mean, the idea of a consent decree doesn't mean every single thing has to suddenly be up to ADA code immediately. You know what I mean? And I don't think it is.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll,
try.
Well, it's interesting because it's going to, have the problem, the different things to consider, the different considerations have to do with, the really old part of the city and then as ways of life changed and people moved to the suburbs and everybody was using automobiles, there was less walking and it was,
That's how suburban planning went. And the other thing is there are a lot of little spots throughout the city that we're trying to identify that don't have sidewalks.
Right.
And then we have to decide, will they be part of the... See, we're trying to define the district for the sidewalk rule. So, in other words, those neighborhoods that don't have sidewalks will be left out of it. But then you have all these little spots without sidewalks. Do they...
That's where
it's going to be a question,
Yeah.
So we're trying to identify all those little spots. I mean, like on my street, there's two houses at the end that have just grass.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, do they... Are they going to be part of the district or not?
Yeah.
Because if they're part of the district, not only will they get a sidewalk, but they're going to have to pay into the to the project.
Yeah.
Can you volunteer if you're not automatically in the district? Can you request to be in the district?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
Okay. That hasn't been decided.
Right, hasn't been decided.
Yeah. That's definitely on it. Okay.
Right.
So that's all I got for that.
Yeah. Is anything new or different about?
Oh, yes. Okay, so everything has been placed on hold because our executive director resigned in the middle of we were, a few weeks away from submitting the RFQ. The Hudson Housing Authority has been in the process of developing a request for qualifications to reimagine its property down there for the 400th time in the last 40 years, right? So we were hoping that this time around we could, start to leverage all the discussion around affordable housing happening nationally and get something done.
CAC got involved from the environmental and landscaping aspect.
Yes.
But
the RFQ is on hold because the board is not allowed. We are not procurers. We cannot write an RFQ. We cannot submit an RFQ. So without an executive director, we basically can't make any decisions. We can't do anything where our hands are completely tied behind our backs. So we have to wait until a new executive director is selected It's going to be an interim executive director. But so anyway, there's nothing happening right now.
Can the interim?
It's not an elected position.
No.
Can
the interim?
It's elected, you said. I'm sorry.
It's actually not even, it's outside of the purview of, what's the word, working for the city.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's not city official.
He's not a city.
Not
no,
a city official.
The word, though, taking the exams and all.
Oh, civil service.
But it's not civil service.
He's not a civil servant.
Well, who does the selection?
We're going to be getting help from HUD, but then we get the candidates and then the board selects.
Oh, okay.
So the board can select its executive director.
Can the interim put in an RFP?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, their contract will have a contract that will allow them to do all of that work. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm guessing it'll take, we're hoping we'll have someone in the acting position by next month, but it might be October.
Mm-hmm.
But it will definitely be.
Well,
and then we'll start the comment period again, just so you're aware. I mean, we've already gotten the CAC comments, but the clock will start again for 30 days, and the RFP will be resubmitted. There might be some changes to that.
Sure.
But, so anyway. It was a bit of a setback, but we move forward.
So, is there any movement on big grants?
Yes, the first has been submitted, for the comprehensive plan.
Oh.
So that's submitted, and I happened to ask Michael today if there was any date for possible response. He said not announced, so we don't know. The other one was not submitted. We've had a little problem with grant writers for this period. They got in fewer grants than we were hoping.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sort of personal things that happened for the two main grant writers on the company. One had a stroke, one has cancer. So it kind of I don't know, it kind of puts us in a rough position. I mean, we're not going to rehire them. But for the rest of the year, they want to, I mean, they're committed to earning the money they get. I mean, granted, we don't pay them a huge amount of money. But still, they gave us less than we were hoping for. So there is an August deadline for a number of grants, and they're committed to getting those ones in. Now, this whole, the Green Infrastructure Parking Grant, that was kind of just that we were talking about. That never made it even into the... We had 8 on deck, and they submitted, I believe, 4 for the July 31st deadline.
Right. Well, you know, the comprehensive plan is...
That's the huge... That we want that the most. Because it intersects with so many other things that we're working on right now in terms of, you know, all that housing consult stuff that's gone, consultation and stuff that's going on. I mean, it would just be perfect time to get that, to be able to do it, and you know, pick somebody and have it all done within 2 years.
So if there were, you know, something like a green infrastructure parking grant possibility that, you know, we were able to pull together the forestry grant to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The grant writers, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
there's something that we might.
Well, the other thing is, you know, it's funny because you were talking about the hardscape today. We've been talking to a group of a developer and I don't even know what to call the other part of it, but it's a developer who works with a. Did any of you see the Regenesis
presentation?
Okay. So those two guys. And you know, they're looking at certain properties that they've identified. And one of the things they brought up out of the blue was the parking lot behind City Hall. And something could be done with it that would be both in the interest of the city and, you know, still contain parking, build above, you know, green infrastructure, the whole works. But that's again in a very early stage because we'll probably, if we decide to go with them, we still have to put it out probably for others to submit proposals. Right. Well, yeah, and they've identified properties that they would be interested in working with the city on, mm-hmm. and that spot where we've talked about the parking lot would be one of them.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I mean, Rebecca Walter is advocating avidly for them, but we still have a lot of questions to go over, and, you know, then a contract has to be developed about, because, you know, for them
right.
to... Right, but if everything coheres, I mean, if we also get, because they would like to work on a comprehensive plan and zoning with us, but we can't really use them as the, doing it, because that's a conflict with what, mm-hmm. you know, they, what are they going to do? You know, create a comprehensive plan that serves their own purposes,
right.
you know what I mean?
Write a bunch of projects
right,
in there, yeah.
But if we had a comprehensive plan in the works and they were working with us also, they would be able to contribute, excuse me, in a,
right.
in a meaningful way. So,
yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, good. Is there anything that City Hall could or the council could use from the CAC about that topic? Like that we, some of us went to those meetings?
Mm, not yet.
Okay.
I can think of.
Okay.
But you know, we, I don't know if you're all aware of Michelle Tulo, who's now the, I forget her exact, it's, I think it's called Housing Justice.
Yeah.
Thing, but she's,
oh, right.
she is phenomenal.
Yeah.
You bring her to a meeting and, oh, you were right the other night. I just am really, Tulo, T-U-L-L-O.
Which meeting was this the other night?
Which one?
That she was at.
Oh, that was the inclusionary zoning meeting. And to have somebody who actually demonstrates real expertise in the room is often humbling as well as helpful.
Uh-huh.
Because other people, you know, just kind of drift with possibility
right.
instead of actually having some factual information.
Yeah.
And the most incredible thing at this meeting was when she said, well, I don't know that, so I got to go look it up, you know, and do some research on that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, you know.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, she's, it's not really just about housing justice, it's about how you do housing and property development, all the things within it, you know. So she's a real resource, and you should get to know her and maybe.
Is she living here now?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And that was funded by, and she is funded, by the way, by that grant that Rebecca Wolf got us,
right.
that $1 million grant.
Yeah. Fabulous.
So, I'm sorry, because like right over here. So go back to that other company that was.
Oh, Regenesis.
Regenesis.
What's
that?
Oh, yeah. They're a company that tries to do a very kind of holistic, as they would call it, approach to development. You know, they come and live, they come and set up in a community, and they just kind of offer an alternative way of doing outreach and all that kind of stuff.
You know, they like build a community narrative,
right?
Way,
yeah,
input from everybody, so that like whatever's developed is based on that.
So the city has paid them?
No. They're just talking to us, and they're interested in us. We haven't paid them a dime.
They're also, I mean, they access LIHTC funding and the rest of it.
Right.
Developers. They're not just planners. So they build affordable housing units that.
Well, wait, that's impact. That's the co. That's the developer that works with them
right.
or
oh,
uses
right.
them.
Right. So Regenesis is here just giving us advice.
At this time,
well,
right?
if. Excuse me?
I mean, well, go ahead. No,
if we, I mean, if we went into contract with Impact, Impact would use them as the way of doing all the outreach for any potential projects. And their whole concept is that it's a bottom-up kind of process. They set up in the city, they just go out and try to find out as much as they can about everything what we want, as opposed to telling them what we want from the top. You know, like, in other words, we don't go to Impact and Regenesis and say, we want this, this, and this in these places. They would come in, and those properties would be in the mix, but they would then, you know, work with the city to try to figure out what to do with them all.
If I understood correctly,
I mean, this is what their website says and what they say in person.
Yeah. They're pretty impressive people.
Yeah, there are projects that they have on their site that you can
aren't that
many,
see
though. They've done. Some of them are
the biggest one is Nourishell. And, well, let me separate them. Regenesis has done stuff all over the world.
Right.
Right. Impact has what they're asking us for, and it's called a master. I can't remember. I'm not a master developer, but it's something like that. And they have that with the city of New Rochelle, and they've done incredible stuff there. Now, this is where Michelle was so helpful, because she pointed out the differences. Because New Rochelle had significantly different areas of the city, and they were trying to, you know, get some balance throughout the city. We don't have that kind of thing. Yeah. So it's a very different scene here for what they would be dealing with. But anyway, this is kind of who we've been talking to, and maybe we'll deal with it.
And they have an interesting sort of developing a contract with them is no boilerplate.
No, not at all.
And they're not interested in, say, I want that.
Right.
Give me that. I want to develop that, and then I'll do this other work for you.
They are interested in a couple of private properties here, they might be a factor in the CAS development.
Oh, good.
And they're actually, believe it or not, talking to One Hudson, you know, that the old, the roof company, you know, the big industrial building at the end of Hudson Avenue. Hudson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wait, you mean what's happening at Overhead Door?
Well, they're talking to the owners.
Oh, good. Finally.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
boy. I don't get your hopes up, but they've made... You've never been there? You know where the baseball field is?
Sure.
At the very end of that street.
There's an old industrial property just after the baseball field.
I mean, I know the property. I didn't know that there was actually a manufacturing building.
Well, there used to be.
There isn't.
There hasn't been
for years.
This is the
sitting
for 20 years.
A Japanese corporation owns it.
The property?
Oh, yep. I just wondered about who owns it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
So they would be interested in doing...
Something.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Something.
So got it.
Back in 06, I contacted them. I finally got a contact with them because I was interested in promoting it as the property for film production and film sets and stuff.
Sure.
But what are they thinking?
I have no idea. They're just talking to them.
How long has the Japanese company owned that building?
A long time.
20 years, man.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I've met the guy who used to run the place, who lives in the cabin.
Okay.
So it's
an American company.
Monorail system for carrying these
materials.
Heavy doors and materials from one room to another, and they do different things on them, and it just seemed prime for
something.
Camera and stages.
Yeah.
But they weren't
interested in selling.
Anyway, Rich, in answer to your question, Regenesis has a website that you can learn about.
All right.
I mean, some of it might seem a little spacey and kind of new agey, but They're for real.
Right.
Oh, you didn't like that, David? You didn't like when I said spacey and new agey?
I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought you were reacting negatively.
No. I'm saying that's, the website has, their problems.
I'll figure
out. You can see but I know what you mean. It's like they have a rep.
Yeah.
They come into town and they make it, but they have projects too.
Right.
Talking about stuff that doesn't actually get
built.
So that's my report.
Okay, do we have any new business to discuss? I think we just did. We learned out about Overhead Door Company.
Right, how are you?
I think we went through all the things we need to accomplish in August. We need to make progress on everything.
We talked about this in progress.
Do we need to do anything else tonight? Does anybody want to adjourn the meeting?
No, it's just things.
Okay, who wants to leave Michael and have all of the rest of us leave?
No,
I would like to adjourn.
Yeah,
let's go.
Second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want a roll call vote or do you just go? show of hands.
I think the eyes are
Let's consider a